I'm Jennifer Parlamas.
And I'm Zach Burns.
And this is the What's the Deal podcast. We're professors of negotiation and bargaining who have different backgrounds and interests on the topic.
In each episode, you'll get a few tips to add to your negotiating toolkit.
We're doing this as a companion to our course sessions for our students, but we also hope that it can be a standalone resource for anyone trying to get a little better at negotiating.
In each episode, Chris Johnson, our graduate student in organizational development and a novice negotiator, will be joining us in conversation.
In today's episode, we will cover four simple concepts that can help you be a better negotiator.
All right, let's find out what's the deal. So, Jen, I'd like to start talking about something that I know is close to both of our hearts, and that's animals. Mm-hmm. You have a fuzzy buddy at home.
That's true. His name is Wallace, and he's a golden retriever.
I have a couple fuzzy buddies myself, Sequoia, who is a Chihuahua mix, and Meb, who you might hear during some of our future podcasts. He is very loud. He's a cat. So I want to talk about something that actually happened to my wife and I, which was we signed our lease for one of our apartments, and it explicitly said we weren't allowed to have dogs. Now, of course, we're both animal lovers. We didn't have a dog yet, and we both really wanted to get one. So we had to go to our landlord to negotiate what we were going to do about this.
So you wanted a dog in your apartment, and your landlord said no, or the lease said you couldn't have a dog.
Exactly. According to the lease, we are not allowed to have a dog at all.
So you needed to negotiate to get a dog in your apartment.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Let's use this example of you wanting a dog and the lease not allowing a dog as a way to think through these four simple things that can up your game in negotiation.
I love it. Let's do it.
What are the four things that we need to be concentrating on? And then let's look at your example.
The four things we're talking about today are BATNA, RP, Target, and ZOPA. It's a lot of terminology, but we'll explain each of them in turn.
Great. So what's a BATNA, and how might it apply to the situation you described?
So a BATNA stands for Best Alternative to Negotiated Agreement. So I know I'm going to be entering into a negotiation with my landlord to see if we might be able to get a dog. But I also have to be thinking about what I can get outside of that negotiation. What I mean by that is, well, let's say the landlord says at the end, absolutely, no way, can't have a dog. What am I going to do instead?
So really, what are your other options should this negotiation not work?
We really want a dog. So one option was move to a different place that allowed dogs. But there are certainly other options too. Maybe get a dog and hide it from the landlord. Doesn't seem like the best idea, but it's certainly an alternative.
And I mean, you could give the dog to your parents.
I could get a dog given to my parents. Yes.
All right. So you have three alternatives there. Mm-hmm. All of which don't sound exactly like great alternatives.
Yeah. And I think that's a good way to think about BATNA, is that's kind of the point. Is that they should be worse than trying to negotiate for what you want. Because that's the whole point of negotiating, is you can get something better than you can if you didn't negotiate. So obviously, best case scenario is negotiate, get the lease relaxed, get to have a dog. But I say have some options in case that doesn't work out for me.
Great. So let's move to the second thing that we've talked about of the four important concepts to make yourself a better negotiator is the RP. What does RP stand for?
I say it stands for reservation price. Do you agree, Jen?
Well, I think it stands for resistance point. Basically, I think it means the same thing.
Absolutely, it does. That's why we just like to use RP.
So this is your walk away, right? This is that point at which if the negotiation doesn't make you better off, you walk away. This is that price that you've set or that point at which you say, I'm going to turn to my alternative.
Absolutely. So in thinking about whether a deal is a good deal or not a good deal, you want to be referencing your RP to decide whether you're getting something better than you could outside of the negotiation. So let's flesh out the example a little bit more and say, I really want a big dog. I like, you know, the St. Bernards, the Tibetan Mastiffs, just beasts of dogs. So maybe there's some sort of range of dog that I'd be willing to negotiate in if I know my landlord isn't too keen on dogs, but might be more amenable to letting me get a smaller dog. So maybe I would say, look, ideally I want a huge dog, but I'd be willing to have a dog all the way down to, you know, 10 pounds. To me, having an animal around is just more important.
Great. So your resistance point is a small dog. So you'd be okay with staying in the apartment and being allowed a small dog rather than moving to one of your alternatives.
Yeah, moving's a hassle and don't want to have to do it. I kind of just like to have a dog around. But at a certain point, you know, the dog is too small and can't do all the things that I want to do with it.
I think you also mentioned the third element in our list of four things in the way you discussed your resistance point. This is the idea of your target. So what you kind of want the most. And can you describe what your target was in this context?
Yeah. The target is sort of what are you aiming for above and beyond just doing a little bit better than you could outside the negotiation. Doesn't necessarily mean getting everything you want, but it means aiming for something a little bit more. So because I tended to like bigger dogs, maybe I would say I'd be cool with anything down to a 10-pound dog, but really what I'm looking for is something in that 50 to 60-pound range. That's going to be my target in this negotiation.
By the way, Zach, that's really not a very big dog.
Well, my current landlords would disagree, but...
Because I'm thinking my golden retriever, Wallace, is pretty big, and he's about 80 pounds. But there are a lot of dogs bigger than he is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I was really hoping for a dog I could go running with. But, you know, ended up with the Chihuahua mix. She's amazing.
All right. So your target is, you said, around 50 pounds, 50 to 60 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So... let's talk about the fourth element here, ZOPA. What's the ZOPA and how does it apply to your example?
So ZOPA stands for zone of possible agreement or zone of potential agreement. And it means what's the range of deals that are possible between me and my landlord? Mm. So I'm saying I would go all the way down to a 10-pound dog, but I'm aiming for 50 or 60, but you know, I could do down to 10 pounds. Maybe my landlord would say, well, I'd really prefer no animals at all, but if we're going to have an animal, it's got to be smaller. So I'm not going to accept anything more than a 30-pound dog, say.
Ah, so your landlord's resistance point, so the point at which they're not going to accept any more or any larger dog is 30 pounds. That's where they put their cutoff.
Exactly.
And your resistance point is 10 pounds. So it looks like there's an overlap.
Yeah. And this is a pretty good sign that we could probably come to an agreement that would make us both happy. If we can find a dog that's somewhere in the 10 to 30 pound range, as long as we agree on it.
Great. So in those situations where you have this kind of overlap, it's called a positive zone of agreement or positive ZOPA. Are we kind of guaranteed when you have a positive ZOPA to get an agreement?
Certainly not. There are lots of complexities in a negotiation, lots of other tactics or considerations that might be at play, but it's certainly a good sign that we know that there are some deals that we could make that would satisfy both of us.
So I guess the flip side to that question is what happens when you have a negative ZOPA, where let's say you still are willing to get a 10-pound dog, but your landlord says, well, actually, no dogs over 7 pounds.
Yeah, that's not going to be a good sign for us. Mm. Now, it's still possible to come to an agreement, but it's going to require some other efforts and some more advanced ways to think about the problem that we'll cover in future episodes. So now we'd like to bring in Chris, who's been listening to this conversation. Chris, we'd love to hear if you have any thoughts or any questions in your perspective as a student.
Yeah, absolutely. So as a beginner negotiator, all of these things are really helpful to prepare ahead of time before I get into the negotiation. But I'm curious, as experts, is there ever a point where I wouldn't need to prepare these things ahead of time and just kind of go with the flow in a negotiation?
You will definitely want to prepare these things in advance. First of all, knowing your BATNA and your resistance point will help you make a deal that is good for you. So it will keep you from falling into the traps of negotiation. One trap being walking away from a deal that you should accept, or agreeing to a deal that you should reject, where you really should be moving to your BATNA instead.
We're in total agreement here. I think it's crucial for all those reasons. There's an additional advantage of thinking through it from the other side's perspective as well, which is thinking about something like ZOPA forces you to consider what their BATNA is going to be and what their reservation price is likely to be. So preparing also for how they might be thinking about it starts to handle the fact that negotiation is fundamentally a social process. You need agreement from them as well. So it's going to be very helpful to have thought at least a little bit about how they are perceiving the negotiation from their end of the table.
Great. Well, there you have it. Four simple things you can do when negotiating. We guarantee that by using these steps, you'll feel more confident during your negotiations and have a better chance of getting the outcome you want. A big thanks to NTR, Negotiation and Team Resources, and Jean Brett for funding this podcast. I'm Jen Parlamas.
And I'm Zach Burns.
And we'll see you next time on What's the Deal?